Thanks for listening to the Best of Coast to Coast podcast, and become a Coast Insider to hear the rest of this fascinating conversation and check out recent shows featuring guests sharing stories about growing up in a haunted house that was possessed by an evil presence, a nightmarish encounter with a UFO in the dead of night, and the financial horror stories from those who won the lottery and lived to regret it. Head on over to coasttocoastam.com and sign up for Coast Insider to hear these programs and many more truly thought-provoking shows from coast to coast.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with John Olson. We'll take your calls, stories, and questions next hour. John, do you call yourself a paranormal investigator or a paranormal author or both?
I would say probably both. I do more of the interviewing people and writing the stories down, though I have done some with a few groups going out and doing some paranormal investigating. I'm more on the side of learning stories and talking to those who have also had experiences.
Well, I tell you, they're everywhere. Let's talk a little bit more of the stories that you include in your books, and then we'll get into the works themselves. Okay. But give us another one of your favorites.
So another one, a few years ago, I had a lady come to me. She had gone to school, the university, Utah State University in Cache Valley, and met her husband, and they really enjoyed just exploring the West. She was back east, and she just fell in love with the West. And she told me a story of when her and her husband and another couple had decided to go to the West Desert to go camping out near what's called the Golden Spike National Historic Site. That is actually where the Central Pacific Railroad and the Union Pacific Railroad connected. Was the first time that the United States was completely connected by the railroad out there. And they had spent the day at that site looking at the trains, and they had gone further out west and made camp near one of the old railroad tracks that lie out there in the West Desert. And for those of you that don't know, that part of Utah, it's just sagebrush and rolling hills, and there are a few ghost towns out there that had been built during the railroad that are no longer gone or are no longer there, but they spent the day just exploring the old cemeteries and just having a really good time. Paranormal really had not crossed their mind at all when they went out there, but they had a really strange experience. They had just had dinner and sat around the campfire and talked, and somebody came up with the idea that they should go for a hike, a midnight hike. And so they actually went up. Not too far from their camp was the old railroad tracks. So they got on the railroad tracks and started walking actually west. And they could hear the coyotes in the mountains barking, and it was just a really peaceful, wonderful night. And all of a sudden, they heard a train whistle, which was really strange. She said it sounded like the old-fashioned train whistle. And they stopped to listen to see if they could hear it again, and somebody in the group noticed that the coyotes had stopped barking, and it had gone very quiet. And so they sat there for a few minutes, and her husband said, you know, tapped her on the shoulder and said, well, look this way. And looking down the track towards the west, they could see a light.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't too far away, but they couldn't exactly make out what the light was. It seemed to be swaying back and forth, and it started coming closer and closer to them, and she started getting nervous, not knowing what this light was. And as it got really close to them, they could see it was an old-fashioned oil lantern, and it emitted just a pretty bright little glow, but no one was holding the lantern. And they noticed it was coming down the tracks towards them. And so they stepped off the tracks and just stood there in awe, watching this lamp floating and it was swaying back and forth like it would if somebody was holding it. And as it got closer, she could hear something that she didn't recognize at first. It was voices, but then as it got closer, she realized that it was actually two men that were having a conversation, but it was in Chinese. Oh. She recognized the Chinese because she had friends from the university who were Chinese, and she recognized, she didn't know the language, but she recognized that it was Chinese. And the lantern passed right by them. It was fairly close. They could see the details of the lamp and hear the conversation of the two individuals, and it made its way further down the track, and then they heard the train whistle again, but from the other direction. And right after the train whistle, the light went out. And they were kind of dumbstruck, just standing there. And they talked about what they'd seen, and they'd all seen the exact same thing. And wasn't long before the coyotes started barking again, and they made their way back to camp. But what I find very interesting about this is that there's actually several stories of hearing the Chinese workers out there on the railroad speaking to each other. And I've also heard stories of scout groups who have gone out there camping and heard the ping of the pickaxe going down the railroad track. And so it's very interesting, not only historically, but from a paranormal standpoint.
Have you ever had stories of hitchhikers? Those things creep me out.
You know, I've heard stories of hitchhikers. I've had a hard time hammering down the individuals who have had the personal experience. It's a lot of, my cousin had this happen, and then I try and track down the cousin, and it doesn't happen. But there is quite a few stories of hitchhikers here up in Cache Valley, in particular between a town that's called Wellsville and Brigham City through the mountain area. There has been several stories of hitchhikers that disappear in the back of the car on the trip.
Is there an area that you shy away from?
An area of paranormal?
Yeah.
In my studies, I know that there are intelligent hauntings, residual hauntings, a poltergeist-type haunting, and then inhuman or demonic kind of thing. I tend to shy away from the demonic and Ouija board stories, even though I have collected them and talked to people. I'm hesitant to put those in my books, just from, and I don't judge anybody who has beliefs like that they're okay to use or anything like that. I just personally have never met anybody that said, "Oh, I had this wonderful experience using this Ouija board," and so I just don't like to necessarily encourage people in that area, if that makes sense.
Do they freak you out?
Yeah, those tend to freak me out. Yeah, when I meet somebody who's had an experience with an inhuman spirit, those tend to definitely get under my skin a little bit.
And do you believe demons are real?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I believe that there are things that you can do in your life to protect yourself from those things. And definitely if there's individuals who have that in their life or are being tortured, for any better sense of the word, that there is, people that can help with that to help them out.
John, explain what Bridgerland means in your books.
So I named my first book was Stranger Bridgerland because the vast majority of my stories came from northern Utah.
Okay.
There's three counties in northern Utah. There's Box Elder County, Cache County, and Rich County. And in this area, I found out later that outside of Utah, the word's not used that much. But Bridgerland is used actually in reference to Jim Bridger, who was a mountain man that first explored the area, and he trapped in this area. He actually helped give the pioneers pointers on where to go and the best places to farm in Cache Valley. And so locals, we all refer to the northern part of Utah as Bridgerland. And so it just seemed to me a good combination to call it Stranger Bridgerland that encompassed all of northern Utah.
How haunted is northern Utah?
It's really haunted. It's actually
what's going on up there.
I know, it's crazy, and I found that, you know, the more, for example, your show and other shows are showing that it's not unusual to have these experiences, that people are more apt to share their experiences. They feel better about it. I know that when I spent, you know, several years growing up not being able to talk about it, it was a lot harder on me. But once I found individuals and other people who have had experiences, it made it easier to share my experiences, to realize that it's not that strange.
Did you key in on northern Utah because you live out that way?
Yeah.
Was easier for you?
It was, because when I first started, when I was 17, you know, internet was in the infancy, and so the vast majority was word of mouth. But as my first book came out and people from all over have been able to contact me, my next book, which is called, you know, Beyond Stranger Bridgeland, actually encompasses a wider area. I have stories from Wyoming. I have stories from Idaho. I have stories from Nevada. It's just been great that more people are coming to me and telling me their stories.
Yeah, they just keep coming, don't they?
They do, yeah. It's getting to the point where it's hard to get back to everybody, which I don't want to leave anybody hanging, but yeah, it's really nice to hear stories from all over.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.